Time for another edition of Garden Talk. Jeff Epping, our guest today, Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens, located in Madison on the east side on Atwood Avenue. Really pleased to have him along. As he comes on, I often mention that Olbrich Botanical Gardens received an award of garden excellence from the American Association of Botanic Gardens and Arboretum. And that's given for the best design and most horticulturally outstanding displays, gardens that reflect the regional environment, environmentally friendly gardening practice, commitment to plant collections and to the regional horticulture community, and encouraging people like you and me, home gardeners and students, through innovative practices. So who better to be on the show, my goodness, than Jeff Epping to answer your questions? And certainly we'll be talking plants and maybe zeroing in a little bit on flowers. We'll talk about shrubs. We can talk about trees with him. And you can join in. Give us a call. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, give us a call at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've got some kind of cool things going on. There's a winter event that we should talk about for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our holiday show, which is featuring garden railway trains. These are the trains that these train enthusiasts actually run outdoors at all times of the year, but we bring them indoors. Wisconsin Garden Railway Society sets the track and operates the trains on a daily basis. They have two shifts. Everybody brings in their own trains, so you can see all sorts of new trains. So come often. And then, of course, we always have some fun displays. This year, the exhibit is buildings of famous landmarks in Madison, all built out of natural materials by an artist by the name of Tatiana Katara. And Tatiana is just a fabulously talented, creative person. And she also conducts a few classes at the garden at this time of year to get everybody in on the action. But you have to see them to believe them. There's the Capitol is one of them. And Monona Terrace is another. So I won't give them all away because I want everybody to come and see them. But they are incredible. And then, of course, we have our holiday trees and hundreds and hundreds of poinsettias and just a nice festive atmosphere, gets you in the spirit.
Yeah, and you walk in. Any costs connected with that?
There's a cost, a little donation down at the door. To be honest with you, I can't tell you what it is at the moment.
It's not very much.
No. It's well worth it. If you're a member, of course, it's all free, too. So,
it's
a lot of fun. It starts on this Saturday and runs through New Year's Eve and open every day but Christmas Day, I believe. Check our website for the exact hours. I'm the horticulture plant guy. I don't keep track of all the times and such. But our website, olbrich.org, olbrich.org, will have all the details. And, of course, you can give us a call, too, if you want.
Okay. But the probably normal business hours are roughly, I would say.
Yeah, we have about 10 till 4 during the week.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dan in New Richmond has a question for you, so let's go to Dan. Hi,
right.
Dan. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. Thanks
morning.
For having
morning.
The show.
Sure.
I have a couple of well-established lilacs that I'd love to move. Is this a good time, or am I too late?
Well, well-established, I'm not sure how old that is, so you're going to have a little job on your hands probably just to get a decent-sized root ball. But I'd say at this point, I would wait till spring. The ground's already starting to freeze over a little bit, and spring before new growth ensues is the best time. So in the spring, when the ground thaws, you can get at it anytime. You can work that soil. The sooner the better before the buds break.
Well, let me ask this. I'm pretty resourceful, and I don't have a problem digging. And the ground here, I'm in New Richmond, which is, I don't know if we're, it just doesn't seem that hard. I suspect that I can get it dug out and get a decent root ball.
Sure. You could move it still. I mean,
that's what I'm wondering. Will I hurt the plants? And these are old tangents from a hedge that I had pretty much just destroyed because I didn't like where it was, that were 35 years old.
Okay.
But to get the root ball, how big around in the soil do I need to dig? What circumference around the the bush do I need to dig so that I can ensure I get the right root ball?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say without seeing the plant, but I will say that as far as plants transplant, the transplantability of plants, lilac is one of the best. I mean, it's a tough plant. You see them on abandoned farmsteads for 50 years, you know, totally neglected. And the thing about lilacs is that they, if this is the common lilac, they lightly sucker. So you might have your best bet going to the edge of the plant and getting all that new growth and sort of divide that piece off. And, you know, if you can get down a couple feet or 18 inches, probably more practically, and then, you know, a couple feet in diameter, it's really hard to say without seeing the plant.
Yeah,
but the more, the better.
These are suckers from this old plant.
Okay, good. So, well, those should transplant. Well, the thing you want to do is once you dig them up, get them in the ground right away. Don't leave them overnight exposed in these cold temperatures.
Even though it's so cold out, go ahead and water them right away.
I would, yeah. Water them and mulch them. Keep the ground, keep the ground, you know, unfrozen as long as possible.
What do you think? Straw, leaves. What would work best? For
Yeah, leaves or wood chips or you know whatever organic material you have available.
All right, excellent.
All right, good
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Call us next spring and.
Yeah.
Tell us whether or not those lilacs are still alive.
See if they're blooming.
See if they're blooming. Jeff Epping, our guest. Give us a call on this edition of Garden Talk at 1-800-642-1234 and Madison at 263-1890. You know, you mentioned mulch, and I'm wondering, is it still a little early to mulch for winter protection, or should we wait a little while yet? The ground isn't frozen yet.
Right. Basically, what you're alluding to, you want the plants or the ground to freeze and then mulch so that it stays frozen. I mean, that's the whole idea behind winterizing, say, hybrid tea roses. I think a lot of people have the thought that we're keeping them warm during the winter, and that's helping. But in reality, we're keeping them frozen because this constant freeze-thaw cycle that we get during the winter, the sun comes up, warms the canes up, they warm up, and then the sun drops and boom, the temperatures plummet. And that day in and day out is what will damage plants that aren't fully hardy in our zone. So basically what we like to do is when we have consistently freezing night temperatures, which we certainly are in right now in Madison anyway, you could start mulching. All of our hybrid tea roses have been mulched in for the winter.
Oh, they have.
At this point, for a couple of weeks at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's sort of the practicality of it all, too. I mean, you know, it'd be nice. You want to get them done while it's still warm enough that you can handle it as well. And we're certainly in that zone yet.
Yeah. Jake and Menasha, your turn. Hi, Jake.
Yes. Good morning. I have a quick question on an asparagus patch that I have. It's still tall and green. Should I mow that down at this point, cut it down? And then related to that is I have a grass problem in my asparagus patch.
Mm.
What should I do about that at this point?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you will give up much photosynthetic activity at this point by removing that if you wish. It won't hurt to keep it up either, to be quite honest. As far as the grass goes, I hesitate to use any type of herbicides when we're eating, in our vegetable gardens and such. And in an asparagus patch, it's definitely the case. I would hand pull what you can, use a trowel, kind of get the root systems out if you can still do that, or tackle it right away in the spring. And, you know, asparagus is pretty darn competitive, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the plants will be really hurt by a little competition from that grass. I mean, most people collect their asparagus on roadsides and all over our rural areas, and they're growing all amongst the grass and everything else. So with that said, I don't think there's a huge danger in losing the plants if they're established. I mean, if these are brand new plantings and they're struggling to get established, then you want to be a little bit more,
proactive or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tim, thanks for calling, Jake. Tim in Madison, your turn. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Say, I have some white pines that are growing really good, but they're starting to impact the sidewalk and the house. And I wonder, when's the best time to start cutting those back?
Are you talking about cutting back the?
Yeah, the ones along the sidewalk, I was going to cut all the way back to the trunk, And ones by the house, you know, I would cut back just to the point where they're not a problem anymore.
So you're talking about the limbs, is that correct? Not
right.
Not the roots.
No, I'm talking about the branches. And
I see. Yeah. I see. Well, you know, at the garden we prune and right after dormancy. We have a lot of plants out there. We can't wait until, you know, April to prune everything. We never get it all done. With that said, I mean, I like to, at home, prune in March, April, you know, May, because when you make a cut, it's going to stay open until the plant is in active growth and starts to form new callus tissue and seal that cut up. So are you in danger if you do it now? No. If you had a choice, you know, you might wait till a little closer to spring.
Okay, well, I'll
and
probably do that.
Just be aware, on a pine tree, the new growth is always out at the tips, what we call the candles, out at the ends of the branches. If you cut in the middle of a branch or something, don't expect it to resprout and form a new tip like you would on a maple or deciduous plant or a lilac or something like that. So if you remove the tip growth, you'll get growth from remaining candles on the plant, which will be more like sort of broomy and brushy, but you won't return to that natural form.
And also, I think I read somewhere, if you really wanted to, you know, trim back all the way to the trunk, how old is the tree? I think I read where you needed at least 4 or 5 years of growth above that for it to be still healthy. Is that true? You know what I mean? To try to cut back the bottom branches up, you know, up a ways, to, just so there was more clearance along the sidewalk and the walkway.
Right. Well, when we talk about young trees, really for the good of the tree, it's better to leave as many branches on the plant as possible, especially lower. The lower limbs actually help form a trunk caliper, meaning that the trunk will taper nicely. It'll become stronger down in the bowl or the bottom portion of the plant, rather than tall and spindly. And that's the reason we don't really want to stake trees as well, unless we really have to, because that constant movement is another thing that builds up that trunk and makes it strong. So leave them on as long as you can, but you know, in a situation that you're in, you're kind of forced to make those cuts, and I would say take off only what you okay. what you need to.
Because the ones I'm considering, they're probably at least 10 years old now, so they're going pretty good.
Oh, yeah, and you're in good
yeah,
shape.
Yeah, you're in good shape.
You
okay.
bet.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah,
you're
thanks,
welcome.
Tim. Thanks for calling. And Chuck in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I have a question for Jeff. I'm looking for a privacy screen, something that's going to go maybe 8-10 feet tall, but I only have about 6 feet in width to put this in. I had an old box elder, maybe a 6-8 inch diameter box elder I cut down, and as it spread out at the bottom, it gave us a little privacy, but now I'm looking for something a little bit more, not so fast growing. And I would like two questions then. Is it, can I just grind this stump out and put whatever you suggest back pretty close into this same location that I had this box elder, if I grind it down pretty deep?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what, a few questions for you.
Sure.
You said there is a height restriction, is that correct? You said
well,
not necessary.
Just more in width than in
right.
height.
Right, okay. You said about 6 feet.
I don't want, I need to get this kind of in front of my garage door, but I don't want to impose on my neighbor's property line. And I've got about 6 feet is kind of what I'm looking for. I was listening to the lilac question you had, and I thought, oh, maybe a lilac. And I do have one of those 50-year-old ones that's going crazy. And I really didn't want to have 35 feet going left and right with the runners and everything else
right.
taking off on me. So
right.
is there a hue or I'm open, I guess.
Yeah, you got full sun, or you're in shade? Or is this
I'm pretty much in full sun.
Full sun. And do you prefer it to be an evergreen material or
deciduous? I'll take one of each.
One of each.
Sure.
Well, yeah. And oftentimes when people say, I want a screen, one of the first things they say is, you know, consider doing sort of a mixed screen, a mixed border, where you can get a little more variety if you have the space, because, you know, you just put in a hedge of, say, arborvitae, it's certainly effective, but it never changes. You're looking at the same thing. It's, you know, almost fence-like in nature. So if you have a longer run, you might consider some deciduous material. There is saying, mentioned arborvitae, there are some smaller growing cultivars, one called Holmstrup is a nice dwarf, and arborvitae can be sheared, just like you do with yews, if you get to the point where it's getting a little wider than you'd like.
Okay.
You know, there's a variety of shrubs. Something like Arrowwood viburnum is relatively upright growing that you could easily prune if it gets a little bigger, you know, a little bigger than you want. But, you know, in general, most shrubs are want to get about 6 feet in an average shrub, 6 feet wide, 6 to 8 feet tall. So those are, you know, those are a couple possibilities. There's plenty of others, of course.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Terry in Chicago, I believe, on the road. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I live in a northern Chicago suburb, and we have some what were beautiful hydrangea bushes up until about 3 years ago when they abruptly stopped blooming. They're lush as far as the green part, but they don't bloom anymore. I'm wondering whether I should do anything now as far as cutting them back or in the spring. Mm-hmm. I know they're sensitive to soil chemicals in the soil, but I wonder if you could give me some advice about those.
Yeah. Now, do you know what type of hydrangea there are? Because there's, of course, many different. There's panicle hydrangea, which is more upright, more almost small tree-like in form with age. There's hydrangea arborescens or smooth hydrangea, which is a suckering shrub that prefers shade, where panicle hydrangea prefers full sun. And then there's a lot of hydrangea grandiflora cultivars. Now, these are the ones that really are not hardy for us flower-wise, but there's a new cultivar called Endless Summer that Bailey's Nurseries up in the Twin Cities introduced. And the beauty of that plant is that it blooms on new wood as well as old wood. So even if it dies to the ground, the new shoots that come up will still bloom.
I
any idea what you might have?
Well, it's not tree-like. It's definitely, you know, bushy.
Okay. And when it bloomed, what color were the blooms? Do you remember?
They're bluish.
Bluish. Okay. So you have hydrangea macrophylla, which is big leaf hydrangea, which Endless Summer is a cultivar of. If you cut them to the ground, you will sacrifice all the flowers. If we have severely cold temperatures that kill all the top growth, you'll lose all your flowers. So one or two of those things may be what's happening. If you would like to plant one of these new cultivars, Endless Summer, Blushing Bride is a white one, that would be your best bet if you want consistent blossoming each season. And you mentioned something about the soil conditions, and that's acidity. Endless Summer.
That has more to do with the color of the flowers.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Endless Summer will be blue in acid soil. It'll be pink in alkaline soils.
I see.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for calling. Jeff Epping, our guest today, Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens, located in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking all things garden today with Jeff Epping. We've talked about trees and we've talked about hydrangeas and we've talked about a lot of things. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Logan in Madison is on board here, so let's go to Logan. Hi, Logan.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment on the Endless Summer hydrangeas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to work at a nursery, and we had a really big problem with those not blooming. We always suggested that you added lots of winter mulch and fed them with high phosphorus and potassium fertilizers, just to keep them blooming more consistently.
Yeah.
Okay. Larry and I were just having a conversation at the break there, and his comment was that some people were complaining that they didn't perform well this season. And my comment was that, you know, they don't like very dry conditions. And this was a tough growing season as far as drought and heat. We keep ours well mulched and give them a little drink of water when they need it. And it's pretty evident on that plant. It's got big leaves. And when it needs it to drink, the leaves are really wilting heavily. But ours performed beautifully this season. And yes, I would agree with you. If you want to preserve canes from, say, that grew this season into next to get even more blossoms, you could mulch them in, and you could do it. So we do our roses in this fashion, where we put a you could use chicken wire fencing around it that's usually about 18 inches, 2 feet tall. Make a cone right around the plant, and then fill it up with an organic lightweight mulch, which keeps some air space in there. We use leaves or composted horse manure or something like that. Fill that right up, and then in spring, take that all off, and usually the canes inside that mass are still nice and healthy and live through the winter, so they'll bloom first for you.
Thanks, Logan. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Don in Pittsville, your turn. Hi, Don.
Hello. I have a question about raspberries, what they call the ever-bearing, or the ones that bear on the new wood. And I've been told that that variety, they should be cut down to the ground in the fall of the year. Is that true?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I am not a fruit growing expert by any means, but when I think back to my college days when I had small fruits, that I think is the method, yes, that you would take them down in the fall, then they resprout in the spring, and then they'll bloom on that new wood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to argue with Jeff, I'm sure they'll be calling in to
please,
argue.
Please do.
I think you got it right, though. I agree with you. Yeah. Thanks, Don.
I would have another question.
Oh, okay.
What about a peening bush? You know, I had one that it had nice foliage and that, but it never bloomed. And then I moved it to another location, and I've had it there for, I don't know, 2-3 years and no blooms. What's wrong?
Now, you know, I often hear this of peonies. Oh, they perform well for many years, and they're just not anymore. And then, you know, you think about your garden, and you think about, boy, yeah, there was a tree I planted there 20 years ago. Well, that thing's big. That's producing a ton of shade, which peonies really don't like. They like to be in full sun. So full sun's best to get the consistent blooms if you have it in that situation. Then it's a possibility that the height of the rhizome maybe is not at the proper depth. If I think back correctly, that should be about 4 inches deep, somewhere in that range. If it's too deep or too shallow, that might be
that causing would affect
the,
it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling. Barb in Menominee, Michigan. We'll move to you now. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I'm glad to get through. I did a boo-boo, and I ordered through the mail. And I finally got a replacement for 3 tree peonies, Japanese tree peonies, that are 1 year old. I just got them last week.
Ooh.
Ooh is right. They look like, well, actually, they had some nice little eyes, you know, for the new branches, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not in soil. I had them in the house, and I thought, my gosh, I can't keep them here. And right. Even though I keep my house cold, and I put them in the garage, and now they're frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do? Keep them in the garage or take them to the basement or what?
Do you have them potted up at this point or just
still no, bare? They're still bare
yeah.
root.
Wow. I would definitely try to get them into some soil. I don't know if you have a location maybe on the north side of your house or garage or something like that. What you want to do is go out there and plant them as if you were, but put it in that type of location on the north side of a structure because that'll be out of the sun totally. And
okay.
So after you plant them, mulch them, water them,
right.
And mulch them good so that hopefully a little new root growth will ensue. But if nothing else, they'll at least absorb some moisture into the root system, keep that plant and buds viable until next spring when you can get back in there and transplant them into a proper location. But this way they'd be, you know, more protected. You'd have a better chance of surviving the winter.
Do they need to be, I should probably mulch them too?
Yeah, I would. I'd mulch them in a little bit. But don't, you know, you don't have to pile mulch over the entire plant. Tree peonies are hardy for us. It's just I'm worried that they're a little dry and desiccated at this point. You might even want to soak them in a pail of water overnight before you do that to get them imbibe as much water as possible into that plant.
Oh, I'm so glad you were available. Since I'm on the line and you're there, I do have a magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
I planted it at the south side of the house, which is next to, well, it's at the end of the garage, and then there's a cement patio about 10 feet, and then here sits the magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was dead in the spring because it's about 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's blossomed in the past, sometimes again in the fall. but it didn't. Do I need to shade it from the sun so it doesn't freeze and thaw, or what?
Well, I'm not sure which magnolia you have, but more than likely you have one of the hybrids that are commonly available, like Dr. Merrill or Leonard Messel or something like that. But no, magnolias in general are definitely hardy for us. They prefer full sun. One thing that they really don't like is very droughty conditions, real dry conditions for extended periods. Other than that, and they like good drainage. So if you meet those requirements, you should be okay. With all trees, especially when younger, you said it's 5 years old, I always like to keep a nice mulched, root zone around the base of the plant. Don't pile it up on the trunk, but put it over the root system about 3 inches deep or so, and that helps preserve any moisture that that it receives, or you might give it a little extra drink under times of stress. But you shouldn't have a problem. We had a strange things happening with our magnolias late in the season this year, and I don't know what was going on exactly, but again, we had drought, we had heat.
And then we had 16 inches of rain in August.
Yep, and we had saucer magnolias blooming in September.
Yes.
And we had rhododendrons doing the same thing, so that's never a good thing.
No, it's not.
But there's not much you can do about it, so you just cross your fingers and wait to see what happens the following year. I assume that the leaf buds and everything will be fine, but probably won't bloom worth a darn next spring.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help, and I so enjoy the program.
Well, thanks, Barb. Thanks very much for calling. John in Milwaukee, we go to you now. Hi, John.
Good morning, Larry and Jeff. My question is regarding a couple of beloved bougainvilleas that I own. They summer outside, the leaves turn very nice dark green. They bloom these beautiful purple flowers. Of course, I bring them in for the winter. And it seems that the minute I bring them in, they molt. They lose most of their leaves. They're kind of bare branches. To the discerning comments of my wife, she's like a throw them in the garbage. But come springtime, new buds form, it starts growing again, and I take it outside, and the whole cycle starts over again. Am I doing something wrong with these bougainvilleas, these tropical plants, or is this their habitat of bringing from outdoors into a heated indoors?
Right. Well, that's not unusual. Same thing happens for the plants that we bring in at the garden. We don't have many, but we do fool around with some because they are quite beautiful during the summer and tough as nails. What happens is the leaves that develop on that plant during the season are adapted to high light conditions, ultraviolet radiation. You bring them inside, the conditions are totally changed. You know, the amount of sunlight is just a fraction of what it was outdoors. Humidity in the winter in our homes is like the, Sahara Desert. So they just can't cope with it. And rather than, they just drop the leaves and then they refoliate. And basically, plants like that at the garden, we just try to keep them alive for the winter. And then when the good conditions return again next season, they just go crazy and perform well again. So
you're doing everything right.
Yeah, I don't know if you can keep them away from your wife so she doesn't see them, or put other plants in front of them to camouflage them.
Okay. Now, I have been... When I water them, I do put in, during the winter indoors, a little bit of root stimulator fertilizer in there to keep those roots nice fed. Is that a no-no?
Well, it's probably not necessary because the plants, again, we don't want to encourage a lot of new growth on a plant during the winter months because the sunlight, not only the duration is so short, it's just intensity is horrible too. So you kind of almost want to keep them in suspended animation until the better conditions return again. So yeah, if you don't overdo it, probably isn't going to hurt them, but you don't want to put too much on because those fertilizers will overstimulate the plant to grow, and that's not necessarily what you want.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks very much for calling, John. You can join in, too. Here's the number, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890, talking with Jeff Epping, Director of Horticulture for Old Brick Botanical Gardens. Ellen in Pulaski is online next, Jeff. Let's go to Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
Well, I also have a hydrangea problem, and I believe that my bushes are Annabelle hydrangeas.
Okay.
They have large blossoms that are green, and the problem that I have is the stems are too weak, and as the blossoms get larger, they fall over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I'm not cutting them down to the right height in the fall, or what I could do to solve that problem.
Well, I'll tell you what we do. In spring, we cut them as close to the ground as we can get them. We just bring them right back to ground level. That way, the maximum amount of sunlight penetrates into the crowns. The stems tend to be a little heavier and shorter.
Okay.
And stronger, so that when they bloom, they don't flop over as much. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not as big a fan as Annabelle. Of Annabelle hydrangeas, I am of actually some of the lesser sized flowers, like Grandiflora. Yeah, absolutely. And heavy rains, and they all flop over on you and such. So, yeah, I don't really recommend that one anymore. There's a lot of new cultivars out there, and just the old standby Grandiflora is a sterile cultivar, so that you get nice flower heads on it, very showy, but not as big as Annabelle.
Okay.
And which stand up a lot better.
Yep.
Okay, I'll give that a try next spring. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. Thanks a lot for calling. And on to Ruth in Wausau next. Ruth, what can we do for you?
I'm calling about from either spruce or balsam pine trees. Mm-hmm. Okay. My husband and I planted four trees about 20 to 25 years ago on the north side of our property. Three trees are growing very, very nicely. One tree is not. About 2 years ago, he trimmed down the trees on the top. They look quite ugly for a year or two or whatever, and now they look really pretty. But the one in the middle lost most of its foliage or whatever on the one side of the tree. I'm wondering if there's any way to get that back to life, or do we have to cut it down?
Well, I doubt that you'll get it back to life and looking like the other ones. Again, new growth ensues on the tips on a conifer like that, and it will not resprout from the trunk or from branches that are already dead or, look dead. So what you have is what you will have. and it's not healthy for some reason, whether it was planted too deep or there's some disease issue or whatever, and it's a almost impossibility that tree will ever look decent again.
Well, do you think when the two trees around it, especially the one on the side where the foliage is gone, if my husband would trim that down and let the other tree take over to kind of make that, it's like a block from the north side, and it's just to take care of the weather and nothing about the neighbors or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you remove that one tree, that may be providing, giving those other trees more shade, which they don't necessarily like. I open up a little more sunlight penetration and air circulation. It might make the branches that are on those trees a little healthier in the long run. But again, they won't resprout anything on a bare spot in the plant.
Okay, but I guess what I was asking is if you would trim off the branches on the one side and just let the healthier trees kind of fill in that part.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, what's dead is dead. So if you take it off, that's fine. I mean, the wounds will heal over for you, and that might be a good thing rather than leaving dead limbs on the tree.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ruth. Thank you very much for calling. Lori in Appleton, hi to you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I did tune in kind of in the middle of this, and I know you were talking about staking of trees, so I'm sorry. I'm hoping I'm not asking a similar question that apparently you don't like staking of trees or something. I didn't quite catch all that. I guess my question is 2 years ago we planted some bare root trees,
mm-hmm.
And there's obviously were pretty easy to plant, and they've taken off and done well. But we have a flowering pear tree that was bald.
Mm-hmm.
And that we didn't have to take the take it off, but that was very heavy. We put it in, and it was straight, and then we did anchor it, but for some reason, the tree just doesn't want to be straight, and it just is crooked. We get very good winds here. I actually live in the Grand Chute area, and we get very good winds, and so I don't know if when we anchored it, but I'd go out there and tighten it and that, so it's, you know, it's bald underneath. So is it possible in the spring to try to maybe just put some kind of an anchor to try to straighten it out? Or do you think that is possible to straighten out since it's only 2 years that it's been in?
Right. But what I was commenting earlier about staking of trees is it's something that is often necessary, especially on bare root trees, because they don't have this big heavy root ball that's sort of anchoring it and keeping it from being blown, you know, awry in the wind and such. Mm-hmm. But so we staking is an okay thing, but we only want to do it when it's necessary, and we don't want to leave it on the tree for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Hopefully we can leave it on for one season, two at the most, and then get it off, because we want that trunk to flex and move, which helps it develop and be much stronger, rather than the top of the plant growing excessively. And when it's staked, that trunk doesn't develop strength, and then you take the stakes off, and it's just this top-heavy, whippy thing, and it just never really develops correctly. Now, the tree that you have, probably the best way to straighten that up is to actually dig back down into that root ball, you know, get out, you know how big the root ball was when you planted it, maybe just 6 inches a foot farther out than that, and create a space, and then go on the other side of the tree and also kind of straighten the tree from the root ball, not pull the top of the tree in one direction. That's really not going to really work. Solve the problem. Yeah. No, you might do more damage to the tree than good, actually.
Okay.
So it'll be a lot of work. But it might be worth it in the end.
Sometimes I've heard, too, also that sometimes trees tend to straighten out towards, they go kind of towards the sun. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that? More if they're, you know, like if they were, you got them from a nursery and the tree's got a little curve in it. Because we had put in a bare root mountain purple ash, and it had a pretty nice curve in it, but now the curve is starting to straighten out.
Sure, when the tree's, you know, only in 3/4 of an inch in diameter, something like that, slight little curves in it and such, you know, in 5-10 years' time, you'll never know that was the case.
Okay.
That's correct. But if it's a tree with a 3-inch caliper on it, you know, it'll always look a little crooked. The top will grow straight, but the lower portion that's out of whack will remain for the most part.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Lori. Appreciate it. Steve in Boyd, Wisconsin. We'll get to you in just a second. Just to remind you, Jeff Epping, our guest today, Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk. Jeff Epping, my guest today, Larry Mueller here. Jeff's Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Steve in Boyd, Wisconsin is next. Steve, hi.
Hi. I just bought a 2 foot tall Norfolk Olin pine, a potted one, and it's all nice and bushy and wonderful looking. And I brought it home and I bought one the same kind of thing about 3 years ago. I still have it alive, but I never realized how scraggly and awful it looked until I brought the new one in. So how do I keep the new one looking nice and growing and so on like the old one didn't? The old one did put on growth for a year or two in the summer, if it was, or especially in the spring or fall, if it was rainy outside and I thought it felt like it would be in the northwest or something. I set it out in the yard and it seemed to be happy, but inside in the wintertime it doesn't look too happy.
Right. And a Norfolk Island pine, being a pine, always keeps growing up, 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 up. And you don't know how many calls I receive at the garden saying, I have this Norfolk Island pine, or I have this whatever, and it's too big for my house. Can you guys use it? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But, you know, sometimes houseplants just sort of outlive their useful life for us. when they're in a house. You know, there's just only so much space. So those plants keep going up, up, and up. And what you want to do is try to preserve as many of the lower branches as that happens. And really, it's just by giving it proper care through its life. So don't ever let it dry out excessively. Don't keep it excessively wet. When you water any houseplant, the best way to water it is to take it into a sink or a bathtub or whatever you have and water it thoroughly. I mean, soak that root mass thoroughly. And in the process, you will be flushing out soluble salts that are in our water, like calcium and excess from the chlorine and all those things. And you flush that out of the root system and the root mass, and that keeps for and makes for a healthier plant. The roots are sensitive to salts, and a lot of times when you have brown tips or yellow tips on your leaves, that's what's causing it. And so, I mean, just getting in a decent amount of light. And caring for it well will make any houseplant look better. I've killed many a houseplant at my home.
Yeah,
believe
me too.
And only the strongest survive, and those are the houseplants I like best. I'm an outdoor gardener more than an indoor, but just proper care.
Will it want any fertilizer?
Well, again, at this time of year, fertilizer is not something that we want to overdo. Maybe use quarter strength of the recommended rate once a month at most, and just kind of leave, just keep it healthy and happy. And then when spring comes and we get more sunlight again, which it prefers, it will, then you can give it a little more fertilizer. And like you said, if you put it outside during the season, make sure you do that under a sort of a slow process called hardening off. Put it in the shadiest location outside. Don't take a house plant from indoors and put it right out in full sun in the spring. I've seen many college students do that, and I think I probably did it once or twice back in the day, and they burn to a cinders, and that's the end of them because they're not used to that full sun and ultraviolet radiation. So,
would it be happy living outside all summer on the north side of a garage or someplace where it got eastern sun in the evening?
I think it would do just fine there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Talking about the indoor plants, we have a cactus that's about 13, 14 feet high, and we were doing some remodeling, and we had to move the cactus out of the room with the high ceiling to one with we whacked off 5 feet about 5 feet. And just I put it in a room and let it sit for a few weeks, and so that we can move the cactus. So then we moved. Finally, the remodeling is done. But after a few weeks, I thought, you know what? I'll just stick that cactus in some dirt and see what happens. The end we cut off, and it sat for 2-3 weeks anyway.
Uh-huh.
Started growing right away. So now I'm
now you have two.
Now I
have two to deal with.
And the other one is shooting up yet again with some four little new pieces coming in off.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah, sometimes I couldn't kill it if I wanted to. Let's go to Phil and Mercer. Hi, Phil.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
I'm wondering about some hedges for edging around the driveway in that. And I have a lot of clay as far as soil content. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering what kind of hedges that would be kind of more predominantly better for that type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer a certain height, Phil, or just...
Kind of more about maybe 4 foot, something like that, something like a trim, maybe an evergreen type.
Well, evergreen, so you'll limit the possibilities a little bit that way. Arborvita comes to mind. Evergreen-wise, boxwood, I don't know how you do with boxwood and Mercer. Mm-hmm. That might be pushing it a little bit, especially if it's exposed. But as far as deciduous plants, things like even rugosa rose, which is a real tough drought-tolerant plant, zone 2, so it's plenty hardy, something that'll be a little more informal look to it. Something like Palbin lilac, which stays, 4 or 5 feet. Beautiful lavender flowers, which are very, very fragrant. Mm-hmm. And you would just, you know, you could shear that after it bloomed and then let it go for the rest of the season so it forms new buds again and blooms again for you. You know, there's quite a number of plants that can be used as hedges. Mm-hmm. It just depends on kind of what you're after, you know, what look you're after.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was to do that, you know, put something like that in with the clay, would I rototill that before and loosen up that soil a lot before putting those in, or?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, if you're going to do a whole line of them, you're probably going to work all that soil up in the planting process anyway. So get some good organic matter, work that into that whole mass of soil, and you'll have a lot easier planting, and the plants will get established much easier. I often tell people to put in like a soaker hose just, you know, over the top to make it easier to water them for the first year or two until they're established. It's a good use of water. It doesn't spray all over, and, you know, it just kind of gets to the roots right where you want it and makes it easy mm-hmm. to do too.
Good luck. Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Phil. Appreciate it. And Mary in Richfield, it is your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I have a question about roses. I went nuts and put in about 30 more rose bushes this year.
Oh, 30 more?
Yeah. Yes. So I normally surround them with chicken wire and zip ties, and I've got that done, and I mounded the soil on the bottoms of each one of them. Mm-hmm. But I usually pack straw around them. Mm-hmm. And is there anything else I can use? What do you use when you have a lot of roses?
Yeah, well, we have a lot at the garden, and you know, we used to do the soil cone method, which is recommended and works very well, and then straw them in. And what we've gone to now is just creating a cylinder, like you described, out of its black plastic sort of netting, so a smaller mesh, and it's maybe a foot across, 18 inches across, and then we just fill that with this composted horse manure. And we don't fool around with the soil at all. So in the spring, then, we get up as much of that as we can, but then what stays is fine because it's a good mulch and organic matter. And that's how we deal with it. We may straw them in a little bit later if the temperatures are going to fluctuate like they did last year. Remember in December how warm it got? Because, again, you want that mass of organic matter to stay frozen. If you do use a mulch, make sure, you know, you use like marsh hay or something that doesn't have a lot of weed seeds to it, because that'll really come back to haunt you.
I have not been able to find that around here.
Really? Yeah. No. You'd have to call around a little bit. Maybe contact your local extension office and see if they have some clues for you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a good. How many roses do you have? You added 30. How many did you have before that, Mary?
I think about 15, so I'm up to about 45.
Wow.
It was fun, though.
Good for you.
Good for you. Thanks, Mary.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Ed in Milwaukee, on to you. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I have a question regarding the vine. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I bought a vine at Millinger's, and it was in the fall, and the length of the vine was rather long, about 6 feet or so, and so I took it home, and like I say, it was at the end of the season, and I'm sure that trunk, if you will, the main branch, was that long because it had grown all during the summer, and they just wanted it, you know, to get rid of it. Anyway, I had very good luck with it. I planted it, and that was several years ago, and I moved since then, and now my daughter has a wall that we would like to cover, and I can't remember the name of the vine, but I can describe it that in this way. It begins with an H. Now, whether it's hemlock or hickory or hawthorn.
Well, there's a climbing hydrangea.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is not a hydrangea. It has no flower.
No flower. Okay.
And the leaves, now, I'm going to sound kind of funny here, but the leaves look something like the leaves of the cannabis plant, only they're much more delicate.
Okay.
And a light color green.
It could be Virginia creeper or Boston ivy. Is any of those two? Does it have a really nice fall color? Kind of maroon and orange?
No, it's not attractive in the fall. You know what gets me is I can't think. I know it begins with an H.
It starts with an H.
Starts with an H.
As I say, I thought I had hemlock, hickory, and hawthorn, and I can't think of anything else.
Stump the horticulturist. May,
I'll tell you what, maybe somebody else who's listening is going to have a clue, or maybe we'll come up with something. My brain is...
Any fruit or...
No fruit.
No fruit. And was it growing in shade or sun?
It grows prolifically. I mean, it just climbed up that garage and it even went over the eaves. And
so it actually grabbed onto the garage. It didn't. You didn't have a trellis or anything, right? It just grabbed right on?
No, I used a netting, nylon netting.
And it was perennial, came back every year.
Every year, yeah.
It wasn't a clematis of some sort.
No, it starts with an H.
Well, yeah. I'm dubious about that.
I'm going to take Larry's suggestion and get off the air, and maybe somebody else will come up.
All right. Well, we'll think of it.
We'll try and think of something, and I'm hoping that somebody else has some ideas. Think of H, but he might have... You know, Ed might have forgotten that.
There's that a lot of common names out there, too. You never know what those are going to be.
You never know.
Absolutely.
Jeff Epping, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with Jeff Epping, Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens, located on Madison's east side. And, you know, give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And I want to go back. Jeff, earlier on, we talked about the Olbrich Botanical Gardens Holiday Express. And in case people are tuning in just now, I want you to talk about that again, because that sounds like a lot of fun.
You bet. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Every year for the holidays, we set up a garden railway, the fun trains that actually run outdoors. So the Garden Railway Society has a lot of members, and they put time in for us, two people per shift and two shifts a day. So potentially four different trains running every day, and they're all cool. Some actually... will run on live steam, believe it or not. They have little fuel pellets in them. I mean, so there's some pretty cool stuff there. But
and then
also,
plants and so forth surrounding.
Oh, poinsettias, the holiday trees. Yeah. We have a great exhibit by Tatiana Katara. It makes beautiful buildings and sets out of organic materials from birch bark to acorns and pine cone scales. And this year she built the State Capitol building and Monona Terrace. And they are fantastic. It's been in the press a little bit lately. And if you get a chance, stop by, because there's lots more to see than I'm telling you about.
It starts on Saturday. And
that's right. Saturday through New Year's Eve.
And every day but Christmas. And I think the time is 10 to 4.
About 10 to 4, yeah. But check our website if you're we have directions on how to get to the garden, specific times. Come on out and see us. It's a lot of fun. Puts you in the holiday spirit.
Puts you in the holiday spirit. And it's the... website is Olbrich, Olbrich. So it's like Olb Rich, Olbrich, .org. And I was having to tell this story that I was telling Jeff before we went on the air, that in my broadcast class, the radio class with the young students, college kids, I say, you know, a really cool place to go for a date is to go to Olbrich Botanical Gardens. And go inside, and I always their atrium, which is absolutely gorgeous the year round. But in December, January, and February, it's a particularly really nice place to be. Lots to see in a quiet place, and for a buck a person.
Oh, and it just sort of regenerates your soul after all this cold weather. It's not so bad yet, but come February, you're ready for a little greenery and nice warm, humid air. And the conservatory certainly is a great place to visit.
You betcha. Ron in Wausau, we'll give you a chance now. Ron, hi.
Hi. First thing, guys, I just really enjoy your show. I travel a lot. And the only thing I can say is I wish it was longer, because it sure makes the drive nice. I really have a manicured lawn, and I really like my lawn. And recently, in the last couple of years, I got some patches of grass in it. And the best way to explain it is, like, if grass would grow straight up from the ground, this goes up, and it almost looks like a bud of like broccoli, and then it buds at the top, and then it looks different. It's a higher level, and it'll die off when you hit it with the lawnmower. I've tried to dig it out. I've actually talked to two horticulturists and asking them what it is, at least identify it. If you know what it is by that description, and what do you do to get rid of it?
So you were saying this broccoli, that's like the flower of it, right?
Yeah, like yeah. The flower of broccoli.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's yellow nutsedge. And the reason it's called nutsedge is because down there by the root system, it forms little nutlets about the size of a pea. And these are sort of like rhizomes or like little potatoes, if you will, whatever. But if you go to pull those, and you'll pull, you know, you might pull the majority of the plant, but you always leave behind some of those little nutlets, and that's what propagates it, and it comes up again.
And it seems to creep on, like, on the lawn, and it'll move into a different area when you tear it out.
Yeah, and that's why, because of that little propagule in there. So really, there are some herbicides available to that are specific to that plant.
It's called yellow nutfinch?
Yellow nutsedge. Yeah, yellow nutsedge. And you'll have to talk to somebody at a garden center to see what they have available.
Very good. At least I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And if I could kill it and then replant later, could I hit it with Roundup or something?
Well, if you use the proper herbicide, it'll just take it out and it won't affect the other grass around it. Because it's really not a grass. It's a sedge. So they have some selective herbicides that will take care of it without affecting the grass. So you have to be a little persistent. You might have to work at it for a season or maybe even a little more, but eventually you'll get rid of it.
Very good. Great. At least you solved the mystery for me. Thank
you. All right. Go Thanks ahead. A lot for calling. We've had several calls in response to Ed, who was had a plant, started with an H. Leaves were kind of like a cannabis plant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are calling in with hops because he said it started with an H.
Yeah, hops. Now, that I go along with that one because we thought, well, maybe honeysuckle, but that doesn't have a cannabis-like leaf. But hops, it's vigorous. Boy, you have that plant, and it'll take over the world. There's a golden variety, which we grow at the garden, which I really like, just called the aureus.
Uh-huh.
There's another newer gold bouillon or something like that, but yeah, they're a really vigorous plant, and they do form hops like people make beer out of.
Well, Ed, I hope you're still listening, because hops sounds like the answer for you. Janet in Oak Creek. Janet, hi.
Hi. I love your show too, and I really wish they would start repeating it again on a Sunday or the weekend so I could actually listen to it more often. Mm-hmm. I have a question. I bought a knockout rose, but in the tree form. Mm-hmm. They did tell me to keep it in the garage over the winter, which I'm doing. But I'm just wondering about pruning. When do I do that at all? Because knockout roses, sometimes it's best to just kind of leave them. So what the cure would be for this type of rose.
Right. Now, you say you have it in your garage. What is your garage, somewhat heated, or is it attached, or what kind of garage you got?
It is attached, and it is not heated.
Okay. So
it would be on the same wall, though, as the house, so it probably gets a little bit more heat than...
Okay. Because, in a detached garage like I have, if I put a plant like that in the garage, it may or may not survive the winter, because the root systems are always much more sensitive than the tops of the plants to cold temperatures. And if it got down below zero or even in the single digits, that can... kill the root system. So if you have that situation, what you would do is just sort of mulch in the pot, even in your garage, to hold in the heat from the earth. But getting back to the pruning, I would wait till spring and see how it responds to the winter. And if all the buds are viable and break, then you have lots to choose from. And you'll open wounds when they'll close right back again, rather than do that now. So then when you do prune that on a tree type rose, you want to always keep the top portion of the tree, if you will, in proportion to the trunk, or the standard, as they call it. And so and generally you stake those because it can't really support the weight of the top. So just take it in hard, open it up to nice strong branches. Select outward-facing buds if you can. So, you know, when they do grow, they don't all grow back into the middle and tangle together, but they open up, and the increased air and light penetration will be good for both disease resistance and to have the maximum number of blossoms form and grow.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jana. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, we will go to Walter in Lyons next. It's your turn, Walt. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Good afternoon, Larry and guest, a long-time listener, first-time caller. I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
We have a jade and a Christmas cactus plant that are both old, 20 years or thereabouts. And lately, the jade plant is starting to wither. They're in a south-facing window that gets, oh, maybe 6 hours, 7 hours of sunlight a day. It's filtered. We try to water it like once a month. We don't try to overwater it.
Mm-hmm.
But the jade plant, you know, the succulent leaves are, they sort of seem like they get dried out, and actually then they fall off, and then branches actually fall off.
Hmm.
The plant's about 28 inches high, the jade, and of course the Christmas cactus is about half that height, but it's quite wide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we're doing the right thing by leaving it in that south-facing window. We water it, like I say, once a month. We haven't got any fertilizer lately, but what should we be doing to these plants to give them more efficient blooming?
Mm-hmm. Well, the jade likes to run on the dry side, as you've alluded to, and I don't know if it's been repotted at all in the last number of years, but I think sometimes people repot them into too big of a pot and then end up overwatering them rather than leaving them pot bound and just leaving them in that, you know, leaving them that way. Boy, it's hard for me to know exactly what's going on there. Jade, for the most part, are pretty bulletproof. I have a feeling it may be something with the roots, though. Do you have that pot in a, you know, like in a bucket or in a vessel that would hold excess water?
No.
Okay, that's good, because you don't want that, because that root mass, having that sitting in water, would probably end up rotting some roots on you.
We haven't repotted this plant for at least 10 years.
Okay, so it's definitely not that. Boy, I'm kind of stumped on that one. It sounds like you're doing everything right to me, not overwatering it, giving it as much sun as you possibly can. It wasn't outside during the summer or anything where it might have suffered some from something.
We tried it a couple of years ago. We put it outside, and the thing just grew great. And then after we brought it in, it went back to its shrinking violet type thing. You know, it just didn't. And we were afraid that, you know, when we did have it outside, we kept it, you know, not in full sun. We kept it in filtered sun.
Right, that's a good idea.
And we watered, of course, a little bit more when it was outside because of the rain, et cetera.
Well, if you have some healthy shoots on that plant, too, you might want to propagate some. You know, just in case you did end up losing it, you'd still have, you know, you'd have the plant in another form. And jade really does root quite easily if I just take little tip cuttings with about a 2-inch stem to them and strip the bottom leaves and just stick them right in soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that difficult. And the Christmas cactus is the same deal. Christmas cactus, however, are photoperiodic in their flowering, meaning they need a consistent dark period, just like a poinsettia would. And, you know, when we grow poinsettias in greenhouses, they have special shade cloth to keep them dark and an uninterrupted night. And the same is true for Christmas cactus. So you would best bet would be to put it in a room, spare bedroom or something like that, in a bright window, so that at night you don't go in there and flip a light switch on, because that will make it not flower, believe it or not.
Okay.
And just that quick, even a flashlight is enough light that can mess it up, and that's happened with poinsettias. Big growers have had problems in that way. So that's how you would get it to come into bloom. Do a little research on the web as to exact number of hours. I don't know if it's 10 hours or 12 hours of darkness, something like that. But that'll get it to flower. We have one, an old one that has been handed down from my wife's grandmother, and it comes in the flower for us just about every season.
I have one that's total neglect. Yeah, I've got one that it flowers all the time. I mean, it's constantly
flowering. Yeah.
Never water it. It's in a cooler spot. It likes it. It seems to like the cooler spot. It doesn't get direct sun. It, you know, kind of sits off in the corner and just flowers all the time.
Yeah, and there's Christmas cactus and then there's Thanksgiving cactus. They're actually two different species.
Oh, yeah.
And the Thanksgiving cactus, if I remember correctly, is the one that isn't as tricky to come
maybe
into
that's
bloom.
What I've
so
got.
That may be what you have. But the true Christmas cactus is a little
tougher.
Yeah.
All right.
So is now a good time to put that in a different room?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Walt.
Good luck.
Bob in Milwaukee. Hi to you.
Well, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a fairly simple question. Is it too late to till the ground? And if it isn't too late, when does it become too late?
Probably when it freezes. Why are you interested in tilling the ground? I'm just curious.
Well, I put a lot of manure on it, some other supplements, and I want to get it in the ground because I want to avoid doing it in the spring when it might be wet, mm-hmm. and I will do more damage than good.
Sure. Now, as long as you can work the soil, you should be okay. You know, once it freezes up, then you're out of luck.
You're done.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I love a simple answer. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Gail in Wauwatosa, on to you. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Hi, Larry. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
How are you?
We're great.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I had a Christmas cactus question, but I'm going to change that since Jeff has already answered that one. I have a wonderful rosemary plant, and I just want to make sure it survives in the winter. What do I wear? What's the best place to put it?
Good luck with that. rosemary are tough to keep alive in the winter. In fact, I have one on my windowsill that's dying at this very moment.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I was out in the garden all season long in a clay pot, and I just buried it halfway in the ground to keep it extremely dry. And it two of them, and they're cone-shaped, and they perform extremely well all season long. And I bring them in, and within a month, one of them is just about completely dead. I was looking at it last night thinking, I got to throw that out on the compost pile. But rosemary like, you know, real dry conditions and droughty conditions, and you know, I've talked to people over and over again who have a really rough time keeping them alive. So I just say keep them on the dry spot side when you're watering. Keep them in a bright, sunny window if you have it, and cross your fingers. And if anybody else has a magical secret to keeping them alive during the winter, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, so, we want to know.
All right.
Thanks,
Gail.
Thank you. Yep, thanks for calling. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Lee in Johnson Creek, your turn. Hi, Lee.
Hi. I have a real puzzle here.
Okay.
It's in the rhododendron family. I've had it. It was a little sprout, and now it's very big. I've had it about 4 years, and it looked like a new leaf coming out, but it wasn't. All of a sudden, there's this long, it's probably almost 4 inches long, and it's red. It had red instead of the green leaf. And then I moved it, and it opened up, and it had a white round tube in there. But it didn't open real, real big. I thought maybe I have never heard of any rhododendron that has a flower. And then it was open for about 3 days, and it closed up. It's closed up tight. Now, have you ever heard of the rhododendron? The leaves are probably almost a foot long.
Mm-hmm. This is an outdoor plant or indoor plant?
No, it's an indoor plant, but I can't find anything in any of my books. Yeah, my daughter-in-law looked it up in Internet, and she said it is a tropical plant, and it never blooms in the house. It would bloom outside, maybe.
I tell you what you could do is you could send me a photo either by email or regular snail mail at the garden, and I can take a look at it. I really have a tough time identifying plants like this.
Have you ever heard of that rhododendron having a flower? The outside shell is real deep maroon red.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Now that it closed
up. Not ringing a bell.
No.
Huh?
If you go on our website, my email address is on there. Otherwise, I can give it here too, and that's jepping, J-E-P-P-I-N-G, at cityofmadison.com. And if you can take a digital photo and attach it, that's
the best. That's the gold standard.
You betcha. Email's much easier to deal with these days.
Yeah, if you can.
Have you ever heard of a rhododendron?
No.
Rhododendron having a flower?
I don't. I'm not. Conjuring up any images in my head.
So send him an email or go to his website. You should go to the website anyway. Olbrich.org. OLBRICH.ORG. And there's lots of cool stuff on the website anyway. And send an email picture.
You bet.
Thanks for calling, Lee. Catherine in Wausau. Hi to you.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Oh, yes. Afternoon. I got some tulip bulbs from the store. Can I still plant them before the 6 inches of snow tomorrow?
Well, it's your last chance, I think. You know, it's better to get bulbs in a little bit earlier in the season, so they might even start to sprout some root system down, get it into the ground before the ground freezes and all that stops. But with that said, you can plant bulbs right up till the ground freezes. I was in one of the local garden centers the other day and seeing, the bulbs are 50% off. I constrained myself and did not buy any. I was very proud of myself, but it was very tempting. And because I know you can plant them and they'll be fine.
How deep do I go?
Well, it depends on the bulb. A tulip, anywhere from 6 to 8 inches. If you plant them a little deeper, like 8 inches or so, they may come back for you a little more reliably.
Okay.
At the garden, our tulips we generally plant as annuals.
Okay, and then I have a comment on Christmas cactus. I have several, and they all do fine on my lower level in the south window, and I forget about them, and then all of a sudden they're bone dry. I water them, and mine is like Larry's. They must be Thanksgiving Christmas cactuses because I put them outside in nice weather, and I just leave them under a tree. They get soaked with rain. They don't get a lot of sun. I just have them under a tree.
And away they go.
And they have, this is their second set of buds on them. And I've transplanted them and took shoots out. And you can't kill them. That's one thing I can grow, especially in that south window on the lower level.
That's my kind of houseplant.
Especially around Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then Easter.
Great. Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling, Catherine. And Laura has some information on rosemary plants. Laura, hi.
Hi there. This is just going to take a second. I've grown rosemary bushes inside for years and years. All you have to do is do opposite. You have to water them every day.
Never
let them dry out. I know several people who grow rosemary inside, and that's the key. Never let it dry out.
What kind of soil? Do you have a light soil mix then? Or?
Any old commercial soil mix, sure. Just keep them in a bright window, but you have to water them every day. So if you go on vacation, you lose your rosemary bush.
I'll be darned.
Thanks, Laura.
Sure, you're welcome.
All right, there's the key.
That's good information. You know, it's funny because, you know, I saw them growing all over France in the rocky, dry soil, and I don't know how many times I've heard, keep them dry, so... That's I'm gonna give it a shot. See what we can do.
See what happens. Jeff, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Been a real pleasure. Go to the Olbrich Botanical Gardens website. Again, it's Olbrich, O-L-B-R-I-C-H .org, and take a look. And be sure if you're in the Madison area, check out the Olbrich Holiday Express starting Saturday and running right through till the end of the year. And it's a lot of fun and some great things to see there. Jeff Epping, Director of Horticulture at Olbrich Botanical Gardens. A lot of fun to have him with us, and we'll have him back, I promise. Monday, we can talk him into it.
No problem.
Monday, Peter Green of InfoStar has some PC advice for you. Stay with us. Lots in store.